Well, let me tell you a little something about me. When it's Saturday night, I need to blow off some steam. One, two, three, four!
Hi, I'm Daniel.
Hi, I'm Scott.
And welcome back to our show.
Our show. It's our show.
Wait, there's theme music playing. You can't sing a song while there's theme music playing because then you're ruining the magic because people don't realize that the music's not actually playing in our ears, that we're doing it in post. And B, you're now competing with another tune.
And two.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And schwa.
Fuck.
How are you, Scott?
You know, I'm old, I'm bitter, I'm fat.
So just a normal day then? Just basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's
a normal day in the neighborhood, a normal day for a neighbor. Are you big and fat? Just where you sat.
You live at home all the time. I mean, you live and work at home all the time. We all live at home. God, that was a stupid statement. But you.
No, don't self-criticize, darling. Right?
That's true.
Warned
you
about
you
this
it,
before. Yes, let me do it. God, that was stupid, Daniel.
So we've been, Zach and I have been working from home since March. And what that leads
is,
to.
Is Zach a Zachary?
Zach, no. Zach prefers Zach. I can call him Zachary, but not.
But I mean, is the birth certificate Zachary?
Yeah, actually, it's fun fact. His middle name is Taylor. He was named after a president.
Oh, I thought he was named after Dr. Smith.
No, he was Zachary Taylor Jones. But
that's funny because that last name is about one of the most common,
yes,
forgive me, boring last names because it's so common.
It is.
So they had to fancy it up with Zachary. Zachary Taylor Jones. Zachary Taylor Jones. So I can
and it's fortuitous that he now lives here in Tampa because I believe
Zachary. I
thought
you said it was Zachary.
Zachary Taylor.
Fortuitous.
Zachary Taylor did some stuff here in Florida because we have some garages downtown named after him.
Garages?
Yeah. You know, you're president, you get garages named after you. That's
wow.
It's like the Millard
Park yourself
Fillmore.
At the Clinton.
I'm parked in Millard Fillmore.
I got level the five four. Level. I got the five level Obama going over here.
So we've been working at home since March, and what is new to us,
yes,
is the fact that we now are doing more cooking than we had in the past because, you know, we used to eat out for lunch at work, right?
That's none of my business.
So the question that I had for you, because I know that you are or were, maybe you're not anymore, but you were at one point a big advocate of the pressure cooker. And
you're talking about the Instant Pot.
Well, I've seen people talk about the Instant Pot, and I'm not entirely sure, because to me, an Instant Pot is basically like my vape pen, right? That's my Instant Pot. But I'm not entirely sure. All right, so I need to know the elevator pitch here, Scott. Tell me, what is the difference between an Instant Pot and a pressure cooker? And B, is this some kind of thing that I need, or is this just one of those fad type, you know, like, a Foreman grill that's going to sit under my counter for years?
Firstly, can you clarify something for me? You said
the elevator pitch.
What? Please explain that, because I've never heard that expression before.
Really?
Honestly.
Oh my God, it's a very old expression. What it is an elevator pitch, and it's so weird that you've never heard this because it comes from Hollywood. It's
hooray for Hollywood, the crazy ballyhooey Hollywood. Go ahead.
Getting in front of producers or in front of executives is very difficult. So a lot of times what people will try to do is to get themselves on an elevator with them, and then they have the length of the ride of the elevator to make their pitch. So you have like a very short period of time to catch their interest and go like, okay, I want to hear more, or, you know.
That's really interesting. And yeah. I am surprised that I haven't heard it. But you know, as erudite as I like to think of myself.
You don't have elevators, you have lifts.
That's right. We have a lift pitch.
Please. I'd love to give you my lift pitch. And by that I mean zip.
Okay, the Instant Pot, the difference between a pressure cooker and an Instant Pot is very little, other than the Instant Pot has taken away all of the guesswork and the danger of the traditional pressure cooker, which sat on top of your stove with your with the flame underneath it and had a little pressure gauge that you had to constantly keep an eye on. With the Instant Pot, yeah, you simply press some buttons, press a timer, and you leave it alone. It comes to pressure by itself.
So you're saying you set it and forget it. Thank you, Ron Popeil.
Yes, I know. It is, let me just say this. Okay. I cannot say enough good about this appliance because it changed. And I've been cooking since, I mean, I have
since
a love.
Since the invention of fire.
Well, yeah, but you know, they got so angry at me because I said, if you put hickory wood on, you'll get a better flavor to the bison and a much better flavor to the pterodactyl. Even though we didn't exist at the same time, dinosaurs and man. But yeah, see, in order to make the joke, I thought to myself, you know, bison was kind of, no, I should have said mastodon, because I think we were around with the mastodon. And
everyone knows that mastodon is better cooked over oak. I'm sorry, that's just
that's what I got around the fire, and I was so angry at Greken, and I was so angry at Org when they said to me, and that means, you know, use oak, moron, not hickory.
Right.
The Instant Pot, I've been cooking forever.
Yes.
I've been loving cooking forever. The Instant Pot changed my life. I have two. Mm-hmm. We had three, but I burned one up accidentally.
Wait, I thought the danger was removed.
It was, but the stupidity of people who use it often is not removed. The way I burned it up was...
Well, I had this project I was working on, and I needed some grout. So I figured it would take, about an hour to mix the grout in a pail, but if I did it in the Instapot, I could do it in about half the time.
I could do it in about 5 minutes. Grout. Okay. No. One of the things that I do is I set... Because oftentimes when you release the steam, mm-hmm, or when you're sauteing, because you can actually saute in the Instant Pot before you pressurize it.
Still have no fucking idea what this thing is. It just sounds like, you know what? You can perform surgery in it as well as, you know, make hors d'oeuvres. It's just like, what is it? What does it do?
What does it do? You can saute.
Okay.
You can slow cook. It's a slow cooker. You can make yogurt in it. You can program it to... I'm not kidding you. You can... And it also serves as a regular pressure cooker. What a pressure cooker does is it cooks under pressure. And by cooking under pressure, you significantly reduce the time that it takes to cook things.
Yes.
And you infuse flavors and stuff. It is an appliance that plugs in and heats up.
Okay.
But in that plugging in and heating up, it does a shit ton of things. So the way I burned it up, because what I would really like to do this episode of our show is finish a fucking thought.
No,
as opposed
please,
to the last, you know, the last episode where everything felt like it was dangling in the wind and not in a good way. You know what I'm saying.
You felt that way. I'm sorry.
No, I like I said, I listen four or five times. What I try to do is just listen to my part, and I'll fast forward through when you're talking. So because I have a vent over our stove, as most people do, a vent that sucks up cooking odors and steam and stuff, I will set the Instant Pot on top of the stove.
Yes.
Not with no burners or anything on,
of course,
it's cool. So that I can utilize
the hood.
The vent.
So you can use
the hood. Yes, the vent above. So it suck the odors and everything out.
Got it.
I was using it on the stove. And somehow, I think it was Drew.
It was me. Shh.
Somehow the burner got left on. And the way our burners are on the stove is that there isn't... They have a vertical bar that you... Mm-hmm. It's like the handle of the knob is a vertical bar.
Yes.
Okay. And if you rotate it, you see it horizontally, you'll know that the burner is on. But if you go all the way to low, it's vertical again. So it looks as if it's off. Well, it wasn't off. It was on the lowest little tiny, tiny, tiny flame that there was. It was underneath our Instant Pot. And in the morning, it had been doing this all night long. In the morning, Drew went into the kitchen and thought, what is that unusual aroma? The burning, melting plastic and dying flesh of some kind of appliance. And he moved it and it literally burst into flame because it was sitting there waiting to do that. And he put it into the sink immediately. So basically we melted one inadvertently because you're not supposed to put a flame under the Instant Pot.
Well, I will write that down. I think there's
a bit of a learning curve. It's not difficult, but there is a bit of a learning curve about the releasing of the pressure because this is going to be really boring and I'm going to make it fast. That was me doing it.
That is amazing.
Wasn't that good? Because I've done voiceover before. You can release the pressure two ways. They call it a quick release. Or a natural release. The natural release is you let the pressure reduce. The appliance shuts down so that it is no longer heating itself, and the pressure will reduce naturally. And then you open it up. Or you can flip a little valve, and the pressure goes, and then you can take the lid off. Those are the two ways to do it. Anyway, this appliance, I use it four or five times a week. I cook 7 days a week, and I use it probably four or five.
So what do you cook? Now, keep in mind, we're keto.
You're keto.
6 out of the 7 days of the week. So
you're close to keto, but you're not really pure keto.
Our dinners typically consist of things like taco salad or hamburgers or steak. Or sausage, or pork, or chicken breast, something like that. Would I be able to do that in this?
Better than you would in any other form.
Because no, I disagree with that. The grill is the purest form of everything.
Ooh, what was that pretty sound?
I have an email coming in. I should.
Wow, read it to us. Read it to us.
It's a work email. I don't think you really want to know.
What does it say? Come on, I want to know.
It's a recap of the 2-week sprint that just finished up at work. I'll just, just close that right now.
Well, tell him I said hi.
Well, it's just an email. That's not how email works, Vera. Scott. That's not how email actually works. All right. So all right. So I should get this Instant Pot. I will use it. I'm asking.
I think that, first of all you need to do is keto recipes with an Instant Pot on YouTube, and you will get 40,000.
Okay. Now, how much is this thing going to set me back?
They range. You can get one for about $65 up to about $120 or $130, depending on the model.
Okay.
If you're serious about it, I will tell you the model to get because you don't need all the belt. They've done one with a lot of bells and whistles, including one that you can
look at. So like the Adam Burns model, the one that just does everything that you don't need?
I don't know that reference. I know Adam Burns.
Adam loves gadgets. He just buys the latest and greatest gadget. Bless his heart.
You know, the ability to do that, if he has it financially, that's a wonderful thing. And gadgets are fun. And I'm not going to stop talking about the Instant Pot, but I'm going to say this.
You're going to complete your thought.
I am. When Drew and I car shopped long, long ago, because we have a car now that's 112 years old and there's no reason to get another car because we don't go anywhere.
Right.
I always wanted the one with the most bells and whistles, even if I was never going to use bells and whistles. And I do that with I don't know half of the things that half of my, not appliances, but my computer, my laptop, all the things that I get that can do everything. And I don't use half of them because I can't figure it out. I'm old. I don't know from this. I need someone to sit as you did yourself, Daniel Brewer.
Yes.
You sat in front of this very computer that I am sitting at right now.
I did.
And you configged my SIS.
I did.
You configged my SIS with Drew looking on.
That's right. I remember.
And so this works the way it does because of you, my friend. And I thank
you.
Now,
this computer, though, that you're on, it was supposed to be for your video editing. And correct. I don't believe you ever used it for video editing.
Oh, no. Absolutely. Exclusively. Oh,
okay. That's what you
yes,
use.
Yes. All videos. Of the videos on my YouTube channel, I have two. Anti-Vera Charles 50 yes, or Crystal Cruiser Guys. You can go and look at my videos on YouTube. Yes, I use this computer exclusively. Now back to the Instant Pot.
Yeah, back to the Instant Pot because I need, you've got me sold. I'm going to buy myself an Instant Pot. You can tell me after the show what model to get.
Because I have to look it up. I mean, if okay. I had it off yeah. the top of my head. Yeah. You know, what I was going to say was they have one that connects to your phone. Oh. I mean, so you could be sitting in the living room and it will tell you on your phone that the kitchen is ready, which is, you know, five steps away.
Yeah.
You don't need that shit.
Well, not if you're really upstairs. If you're upstairs, it's more than five steps away.
All right. You'd get the Adam Burns model, which is the one that connects to your phone. I don't need it.
I don't need one to connect to my phone, but I see. Okay. It's fine.
I will just say this about the Instant Pot, that for me, it was a game changer. And we have two. I could probably do with three. There are limitations because you won't get things fried and crispy because that it's cooked in pressure and pressure needs moisture and the moisture makes everything very, very moist and wonderful. So you're not going to get crispy unless you take it out after it's cooked in the Instant Pot and fry it up in something. Then you'll get crispy. Okay. But I think we've belabored this. I think anyone listening will say to themselves, oh, Christ, shut the fuck up about Instant Pots. Please just go to another friggin' subject.
Another subject? Well, we just happen
to have one right here.
So, Scott.
Yes.
As you know, we are listed on iTunes.
iTunes.
Yes. And what we need is we need for folks to leave us an iTunes review.
Review us. Please review us.
That helps us get seen by other people, and we're just trying to grow our little audience, that's all. So all you have to do, doesn't cost you a dime, just go to your iTunes there, search for our show, and then leave a review. And if you don't know what to write, here's Scott and Daniel are both whores.
But whores who are interesting to listen to.
I once almost hit Scott in a grocery store with a shopping cart, and thank goodness he survived.
Doo-dah, doo-dah.
Anyway, leave us a review, please.
Leave us a review.
This past week, there was a new Star Trek that came out called Star Trek Lower Decks. It is the first...
Have you ever heard Nichelle Nichols sing the original?
I don't believe I have, no.
Oh, you have to listen to Nichelle Nichols singing the original Star Trek theme.
The thing that bothered me about Nichelle Nichols...
She can't sing.
No, the thing that bothered me about Uhura, the character.
Oh.
Uhura, the character.
No,
Okay, regardless, she didn't seem to be able to use the equipment that was there because she could never, her standard line was like, they're not responding or I'm not getting a response. And meantime, Chekhov would go and sit down and he would talk to everyone and Spock would use it and he would talk to everyone. But Uhura never got anyone on the damn radio. And I always wanted the last episode for there to be some technician to walk by and go, oh, no, this plugs in here.
You do understand that those things were written for her.
Oh,
that wasn't Nichelle's fault.
That's why I said it was Uhura, the character. Oh, my God,
ooh,
Scott.
Uhura.
Well,
ooh,
you. Hurrah. Ooh, you too. Anyway, there's a new Star Trek called Star Trek Lower Decks.
I almost killed Nichelle Nichols. Truly. When Vaughn's...
She's a very short woman. I saw her at the 50th Star Trek convention.
Am I vexing you?
At the 50th Star Trek convention, I saw her. She's a very short woman.
You dropped your head. Am I vexing you? Okay. So we used to shop at Vaughn's before it became, now it's Bristol Farms or something, but who knows what it is. Now it could be a rubble pile with what's going on in the world.
I think grocery stores are the one things that are doing well right now.
Okay. So I grabbed, Drew and I went shopping.
Yes.
And this is how long ago it was when we went shopping. And I grabbed a shopping cart and I was for some reason in a hurry and it was back in the days when I was very short-tempered. Can you imagine that?
Impatient. Could not possibly imagine that.
More impatient. More impatient, I would say, than short-tempered. Oh, see my... Here's your reminder. Oh, and it's telling me... It's telling me to start the car.
Start the car.
Can I tell you why? Listen to my device.
Here's your reminder. Start the car.
Okay, the reason that that's there... is because we don't go anywhere. This falls into beautiful into line. And during this pandemic,
yes,
which means everywhere,
yes,
we went 2 weeks one time without starting the car, and then had to go somewhere, and went out, and the car was absolutely dead, and we had to call the auto club and get the battery charged because we killed by not starting it. So, I give myself now a weekly reminder
to start the car,
run it for an hour in the driveway, and then turn it off, and it will be fine that way.
See, so my car has not been started since June.
Well, don't you have an electric something or another?
Yeah, Zach has an electric car, so we use it all the time, but my car is parked right next to it, and literally that one time that I started it in June was the first time it had been started since March, so it's like, my car still has like a half tank of gas that I had from back.
Well,
in
what
March
about you? You got to check your battery, dude, because they go fly if you don't start it up and run it.
Well,
it won't charge the battery. You better check.
It's in the garage. So, I mean, I have jumper cables.
Can I finish my killing Nichelle Nichols story?
So you're at the grocery store. Short-tempered Scott was at the grocery store. And beamed into an aisle.
I grabbed the cart.
Yes.
And I was going to get into that store and get out of that store as quickly as possible. And I was zooming toward the automatic doors. And just as my cart got to the automatic doors, they opened. And who walked out but Nichelle Nichols? Wow. And I almost ran her down with my cart. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, "Oh, excuse me, I'm so sorry." And she said, "You're a fucking asshole, you miserable sack of dog shit. You're probably a fag." No, she didn't say any of that at all. She said, "Oh, that's okay." And she walked off. Now, I wanted to fanboy on her because I grew up with the original Star Trek, but I didn't. And I felt very good that I didn't do her bodily harm, because I'm telling you, it was inches away from me running down Nichelle Nichols. So Star Trek, I heard, has a new series out.
It does. It's called Star Trek Lower Decks.
Speaking of Lower Decks, can I tell you?
It's an animated show.
I was just singing. Go ahead.
And, you know, you do have a fair amount of knowledge of the process of making an animated show.
Too goddamn much. Thank you very much.
And I am doing a recap of the Star Trek Lower Decks with my good friend Adam Burns over on our other podcast, Mix Minus.
Love Adam Burns.
Go check that out. But
Mix Minus.
MixMinusPodcast.com.
Mix Minus. Mix Minus. Callbox 7. Callbox 7. Mix Minus. Callbox 7.
When all we had was a trailer, I had played you a piece of the trailer just to see if you had any interest in talking about it. And you had made a comment about the way that they did their recording. And I thought it was interesting because, as you know, most of us are not intimately familiar with the way that animated projects are done. I want to just play you the piece I think that you were talking about here. This is part of the trailer, but it's to set it up. There's a guy that's doing a captain's log, but he's not actually the captain. He's hidden in a closet doing it, and a coworker walks in and hears him doing it. This is where we will pick this up.
Our specialty is second contact. Still pretty important. We get all the paperwork signed, make sure we're spelling the name of the planet right, get to know all the good places to eat.
Oh my God, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Oh no. Are you pretending to do a captain's log?
We're all supposed to keep logs.
Okay, let me listen to it.
No, go away.
I can't believe you're...
So you said when you heard that is unusual for animation, and I would like you to explain to those of us who don't know why.
They were overlapping each other like crazy. Now, I have to...
Kind of like you and I right now, where we just overlap
exactly,
each other.
Exactly, when we just overlap each other. Here's the caveat. This is a newer age of recording, and the way that they record nowadays, when I was young. Mm-hmm. In order to keep each person's track separate, because as a sound mixer, as the person who edits this together... If I'm overlapping someone at the same time, there's no way to clean cut the line because there's someone talking as I'm talking and you can't.
Correct.
You need to have each voice completely separate with no other sound around it in order to cut it together even if you want to overlap it.
Yes.
So the what I was surprised about when I watched that clip that you talked about was the amount of yelling over one another. But then I realized that means what they had to do was they will put each actor into a separate booth. If they're not recording them at different times, there are several different ways to do animation. I could tell you all of them. They're all boring as fuck. But if they put them in separate booths so that each is in a booth that is completely soundproofed except for their voice,
yes,
they can overlap like crazy. It doesn't matter because the editor can still get a clean cut, even though the actors are actually at the same time acting.
Yes.
And overlapping each other, you've got the girls' track and the boys' track completely separate from one another, so they can do anything with it. Probably how they did that. There's also the form of animation where your fellow actor isn't even there. Now, that was very unlikely for that clip because there was a lot of interaction going on with subtleties. But I've done a lot of animation where it's just me, and I'm hearing it, like if I'm doing what they call ADR, which I think is automated dialogue replacement. I think that's what ADR stands for. I will hear in my headphones the other actor's line, and then I will respond to it
right
here as if I'm, and that actor's nowhere near me. That's another way to do it. So what was your original question?
I found that interesting that when I played you that clip, that was what you came away with, was like going, oh, there's a lot of overlap there. And it's just one of those things that, like, I, as someone who watches cartoons or animated stuff, would not necessarily think about. And it reminded
me... May I just say this and to interrupt you again? One of the most difficult things about recording because there's also a form where all of us are in the same room together with no partitions. Mm-hmm. It's just a mic. I did a lot of shows that way. One of them, I wish we had that name dropping sound, except no one is going to know who the fuck Robert Stack is, so it really doesn't matter. One, I sat next to Robert Stack, and he used to just lean away from me because one of my characters was really, really loud and obnoxious, and it scared him. So I scared Unsolved Mysteries Robert Stack.
Well, he also knew that you were very short-tempered.
Yes, and I prefer to say impatient. But if you're all in the same room together, you are cautioned constantly about overlapping, and they will stop. You know, no, cut, you guys overlapped. And it's really a difficult thing if you're acting with someone to not want to jump in and respond to what they're saying, but you can't because there's no way there's no way they can get a razor in between. And that's what they did, is they would have
back when I first started in radio, I worked at a little local radio, you know, WMNF, our community radio station.
WKRP in Cincinnati.
They gave us a half hour a month to do a little gay show on the radio. And we would do interviews, and I would actually take those reel-to-reel tapes,
yes,
and cut this 10-minute interview down to, you know, 40 seconds. But you would sit there with a razor and cut vertically, you know,
yes,
and you would cut diagonally in order to make more of a fade. And you had to put little pieces of tape on the back of it. And because we were a community radio station and always broke, we just had the most cut up pieces of tape that you could imagine that they would want us to reuse. And it's just like,
yeah, that's called, they that. Would see, we can't get a razor in there. So you have to, and you'd have to do the takeover. So that was my favorite way to do animation because everybody's there. And so you get the energy of everybody there, even though you can't, you have to leave the space for a razor, which is something you learn. It's one of those, you learn it as a skill because there is skill to this, to doing voiceover work, animated voiceover work. There's a skill set that people think, oh, I could do that. I can do that. Look at it. I do this funny voice and I'll go in and I'll make $1 million because of this funny voice. Well, it's great that you can do that funny voice, but you got to know about 90,000 other things, including how to work the microphone, how close to get, how much to pull away if you're going to get louder, all of the different things that you need to learn, the subtleties, the magic that is animation.
Well, I would say it also extends into podcasting. Largely, in this case here, we are both in the equivalent of soundproof booths from one another.
Absolutely.
We are hearing each other through our headphones, like, so... I am recording myself locally. You're recording yourself locally. So there's a clean track there that when I do the editing, I can actually, if I do overlap you at some point, I can actually silence out my track during that point so that you're brought to the front. I can also normalize the two tracks so that we're at roughly the same volume level throughout. And, you know, we use, for those of you who are curious, we use different EQ settings. I actually have a Scott setting on my EQ and a Daniel setting on my EQ that.
Really?
For each track. That
what's different about Scott?
You don't have as much bass as I do because you don't need it. Because you have your microphone and your setup records bass better than mine does.
So I've got better bass.
So if you envision a slight V curve, like a normal 20 channel slight V curve on the EQ, I tend to drop your bass. So it's not quite a V. It's more.
So you drop my end. My end isn't as high up as yours is.
That's right. Okay. And I don't drop my mid range as much. So it's just slightly different. But I mean, it's a 20 band EQ. So you know, you can fiddle around with it and whatnot. And it's probably shit, but it sounds good to my ears. So that's what I go.
That's what matters. Did you
also
Daniel.
Know? Did you also know, Scott? Did you recognize, since you listened to our show so many different times, do you recognize that you are actually 80% in the left channel and 100% in the right channel, and I am 100% in the right channel and 80% in the left?
Wow. No, but you know what? I'm going to give a listen to it to make sure that I can tell that I'm 80% in your channel.
Yeah, I wanted to make it feel like if you're wearing headphones, that you're like right between us.
Wow. That's neat.
It's not. You know what?
What?
Well, thank you very much for that explanation. I just thought it was fascinating that, you know, you watch something as a layperson or whatever, and then when you have a friend that is an expert in that and they say something, it, you know, starts your brain thinking about, yes. Oh, that's interesting, and that's a whole process behind that I'm unaware of, and that's something that's kind of cool.
That constantly happens if we talk about computer shit with you, because you know the ins and outs of that crap, and all I know is there's a button you press and the thing lights up, and that's good. When the thing lights up, that's a good thing.
Well, unless it's bad when it lights up. Sometimes it's bad when it lights up.
Anything that twirls and doesn't change is a bad thing.
However, Instant Pots and computers do have one thing in common. They do not work well over flames.
No, it's very true.
You know, we had a contest on the last episode.
I wanted that eraser so bad.
You didn't even participate in the contest. I didn't get an entry from you.
I didn't think I had to enter you in order to be there.
I'm ignoring that. There is a technicality here that I'm going to need a judging on.
Oh, am I the judge?
Yeah, because because I'm not impartial here. When I asked for people to answer the question, I assumed that they would email us the answer.
Yes, but also you said, I believe that was one of the prerequisites to the contest.
I went back and listened, and I never said that you had to email.
Son of a whore.
So somebody, and I won't mention their name, Scott the Sater, tweeted the answer to me. Probably an hour or two later, someone emailed me the correct answer. So the judging call that I have to make here is...
I already got the answer.
Okay, what is the answer?
Cut the eraser in half.
Look at you! Was it a
Scott
salt?
Gets one?
Who was that? Who was it that did that in the Bible?
I know. That's one of the books that I know so well.
Wait,
anyways,
that was who cut he said to cut the child in half, right? And then the real mother was like, no, don't do that. And then
that's
how
it sounds like
it
something
mother.
That would happen in that.
It does.
Ridiculous work of fiction. Scott gets half and...
Dells in Dallas is our
Dells in Dallas. Yes. Sweet Dells in Dallas gets the other half.
So congratulations, Dells in Dallas. No, wait, no. I am so sorry.
Oh, take it back. Dells in Dallas may be a sweet person, but he is not a winner.
He's not a winner. It's Whitman Tinker.
Whitman Tinker.
Yes, Whitman Tinker.
I don't give a tinker's damn.
Sent an email
to us. You know
what
that means, by the way?
A tinker's damn? It means that Whitman Tinker doesn't care?
No. A tinker's damn was an actual thing. A tinker... See, I need to look it up. A tinker was an actual person who did shit. I don't know if it was a shoemaker or what a tinker did, but the dam was a little piece of equipment that he used. But apparently it wasn't worth a lot because the expression was, I don't give a tinker's dam, meaning I don't give a shit. Mm-hmm. So Whitman Tinker's dam. He gets half of an eraser. And dear Scott, gets half of an eraser.
There is some disagreement regarding the spelling of this idiom. Some claim it is Tinker's Dam, D-A-M, while others think it should be a Tinker's Dam with the N. To understand this, it's important to know that a tinker is a person who travels from one place to another repairing small things like utensils.
There we go. And a dam was part of his equipment. And
not
I don't
to be confused with a dental dam, which is something that lesbians use. The
Oklahoma, where the tongue goes right inside my twat.
See, anyway, congratulations, Whitman Tinker, who correctly answered that Viola Davis had won a Tony and an Oscar for the role for her role in Fences. Also, Scott.
You know what she named her kid?
What?
Violin. Because that's a little viola.
That is not true. That is not true. Oklahoma. Isn't a viola smaller than a violin?
I don't think so.
I thought it went viola, violin, cello. I thought
See, I may be learning viola. Something here. Let's take a moment and Google.
If only there was an internet work system of computers where we could ask
No,
this
you
question.
Have see, you have to come up with new shit because you've been belaboring that one forever. And on several show platforms, too.
Okay, you are right. It is slightly larger than a violin.
Thank you.
It has a lower and deeper sound.
Lower and deeper, yes, lower and deeper.
That's Old Man River. I saw that play, and it was so bad.
Which play you were talking about?
Porgy and Bess. Yeah, Porgy and Bess.
I think Showboat is Old Man River. Porgy and Bess is not Old Man River.
Bess, you is my woman now. You is my woman now.
Porgy, don't let him take me. Don't let him handle me.
Then what is the fucking river song from Porgy and Bess?
I don't know, but the river, Old Man River, is from Showboat.
Yeah,
I think.
I see that. I see that. Okay. But what is the? There's got. Oh, this is gonna drive me nuts now. This is gonna fucking drive me nuts.
Well,
I know
look,
that there.
If
I am
just,
looking. I'm looking now.
Okay. Did we finish the thought before we got into Porgy?
Probably not, but that's unimportant now because now I am consumed with needing to know exactly what the hell the name of the damn song was.
It's okay. You look, and I will remind us that it's half an eraser to Whitman's Dam and half an eraser to Scott's
Tinker's
Seder.
Whitman Tinker.
Whitman's Tinker's Whitman's Sampler. Whitman's Sampler. I'm sorry, Whitman. I don't mean to make fun, but it's just, it's so rife with similar sounds. You're looking such concentration
yeah,
and consternation
I
at the
I know,
same
summertime
time.
Is the one that everyone knows.
Summertime and the living is easy. Fish are jumping and the cotton grows high.
Congratulations, Scott the Seder and Whitman's
and
Tinker for both
Whitman's
winning.
Don't touch Whitman's Tinker.
I
you don't know where
you,
it's been.
Oh my God. I need both of you to please email me your address so that I can send you your half of the eraser. You know, it's not the singing. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me and grates on me, and it's probably the reason that I think Hamilton is such a great musical, is I detest the forced vibrato that a lot of Broadway musicals feel they need to adopt. Like, literally whole notes worth of vibrato. Like, and it's like, I hate that style. I like a purer tone. I like a more sustained, pure tone than this crazy vibrato stuff. And I feel like a lot of newer Broadway actors were brought up in the old style and just feel like they're, and I can just hear them forcing themselves to do a vibrato, which
How
is-
How do you know they're forcing themselves to do?
Because I can hear it.
Well, maybe their voice does that naturally when
it
they're singing.
It does not. If their voice had natural vibrato, they would not be doing the breathing thing that they're doing with it. You can hear the breath in it.
Boy, who are these people? Because they sound like they suck.
They do. That's why I don't like their music.
Okay.
You know what? It's been fun, Scott. And,
oh, no.
I'm so glad.
No.
I'm so glad that you are less,
impatient.
Annoying. Oh, impatient.
Annoying. Annoying. I don't see. Well, why did it turn the corner into hurtful?
You know,
I don't understand.
We don't
that.
Have time. We really don't have time. Sadly, I guess we'll have to wait until next week to cover that. So go start your car. Make sure that the battery's running, and I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to That Darn Elvis. If you would like to contact the show, use our email, contact@thatdarnelvis.com. You can also visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/thatdarnelvis. Scott can be found on Twitter at Auntie Vera, and Daniel can be reached at Daniel Brewer.
This podcast is a proud member of the Pride 40 Fuck Me Whole. Go to pride48.com.